Good evening and welcome to tonight's episode of Retro Gaming Dads. Today we're going to be talking about a long-lost title that has resurfaced thanks to the internet, the upcoming announcements from BlizzCon Online, particularly around Diablo, an announcement from Nintendo Direct based on the 2D HD engine, and a movie teaser trailer that has been released that has got us all a little bit excited, I believe. So tonight we've got Barry and Anthony with us, along with myself.
Hello there.
Hey there.
So I believe tonight we were going to start off with Dinosaur Planet that got unearthed from the archives of Nintendo somewhere.
Yeah, this is a very intriguing one, shall we say, because obviously looking at how it came to be is that they found a copy of the ROMs on a disc from a private collector, which obviously when they acquired it, they've played it, and it is a unreleased version, you could say, of Star Fox Adventures when it was Dinosaur Planet beforehand, which looks like, as you would expect, very Star Foxy.
Well, I think that's why the Star Fox crew became really good drop-ins when they changed it from Dinosaur Planet to Star Fox Adventures, because looking at them, they could just be side characters from any of the Star Fox games, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought it was a little bit interesting, Star Fox. Star Fox Adventures. Because it always seemed a little bit like it came out of nowhere.
Well, I think it was a bit of a Doki Doki Panic type situation where they had a game. It possibly wouldn't have sold very well. So they've dropped in Star Fox characters. Apparently, Shigeru Miyamoto actually said, you know, this game will not survive without recognizable characters. Why not use, you know, Fox McCloud? Bear in mind, this was not long after Star Wing and Lilac Wars had been released. So they were still fresh in people's memories. Drop those characters into the game, give it a bit more recognition when it comes out.
That's true. And it was around that time as well that everyone was talking about mascot power, because you had Crash Bandicoot for the PlayStation, obviously the iconic Sonic, Mario. So everything was very character-driven, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially if they had a bit of attitude to them as well.
When I read through the article was talking about, I think you kind of touched upon it a little bit, the legend goes, Shigeru Miyamoto, I think the name is the guy.
Yes, guy who made Mario, essentially.
Yeah. He suggested it to be retooled to incorporate Fox and to be released onto the GameCube, so the N64. But then also talking to you about it before, Barry, you were saying that it's got a lot of gameplay similar to Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Yes, it plays very, very similar to the Nintendo 64 Zelda game, so Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask.
So talking about, it's pushed onto the GameCube, so it was kind of like a good go-between and a good sort of like filler gap between the Zelda games.
Yeah, so people who like the Zelda games on the Nintendo 64 felt that there was a reason to upgrade to the new console when it came out. And I suppose from Nintendo's point of view, it wasn't a game that would compete with the pre-existing titles. But then again, the amount of 3D collectathon platforming games on the Nintendo 64 that all competed with each other and were all first-party releases, maybe Nintendo just didn't care, to be honest.
I mean, you'd hope they would care about their games, but yeah, who knows?
No, I mean, with them competing against each other, because you had, straight away, you had Mario 64, you had Banjo-Kazooie, Donkey Kong 64, Conker's Bad Fur Day. So four games that, well, maybe not Conker's Bad Fur Day would be direct competitor to the other ones, but all played very similar. It is interesting seeing where the game came from, but I think ultimately putting it in the Star Fox universe was definitely the right decision for it.
Yes, but there's nothing stopping them from all of a sudden releasing the ROMs online, and even though it will take a bit of modding to make it into a complete playable game, someone could always do it if they wanted to.
Well, the ROMs are actually available and they do work on emulation, just there are issues. It doesn't play perfectly. You might have some slowdown in parts. Though apparently if you put it on a flash cart, it works pretty well. Obviously the game is not complete, but there's certainly plenty there.
I definitely think it's more of a curiosity than anything else.
Yeah, it's like when they release those those Sonic the Hedgehog 2 beta discs and the like that came out.
Well, so there's a little, you know, something that just came out of nowhere. This little disc just popped up.
Yeah, it's definitely nice, especially from a preservation point of view as well.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. It is. It's always nice to see this developer work sort of come out from the underground, if you will, so you can see where games came from and how they evolved to become the final product.
But talk about games and evolving, I believe the next point we're touching on is one for you, Phil, about Diablo 2 and 4.
Yeah, 2021 is clearly the year of hell, because you get both Diablo 2 and 4, and whatever the hell may else happen this year, we don't know yet. So Diablo 4 and Diablo 2 both coming out this year. Diablo 4, we've had some teasers of a couple of the classes, looks quite interesting, though information is still fairly light on the ground. Though the Diablo 2 remaster, or resurrected, as it's going to be called, it looks like they are keeping quite true to the actual the bones of the game. They're not changing the way it plays, thankfully. And visually, it looks like quite the upgrade. Let's just hope they don't pull a Warcraft 3 and it end up being, well, having issues, to say the least.
Hopefully, lessons learnt there, definitely. For me, Diablo 2 isn't one that I really played. I know I played it a little bit, but not as much. It was only Diablo 3 that I really played. I probably was a bit young to play the first Diablo, so I didn't really get to the series compared to you two.
Well, year 2000, I think it was, when Diablo 2 was initially released.
2001, I believe, because I was surprised that it came out the same year as Halo.
Right, I thought it was the year before.
No, same year as Halo, because it surprised me when I learned that fact. Though, yeah, we both started with the original Diablo, which the brilliant music by Matt Ullman, if you can call it music, ambience, I believe is the better word for it.
No, Phil, we're a classy podcast. It's ambiance.
Ambiance, sorry. That and those classic voice lines that literally make you run to the bathroom in your teenage years. Fresh meat.
Yeah, gotta love the butcher.
Oh, yeah.
Although, I think he should be done for false advertising, because I can guarantee none of that meat was fresh.
No, you were the fresh meat going into the room. So, yeah, the remaster of Diablo 2, I am looking forward to that. Talking about Diablo 3, I've been playing that recently, and when it first came out, a lot of people weren't happy that they stripped the gameplay mechanics back a lot. So throughout Diablo 2, you had these big sprawling skill trees with the synergies and everything that went into making your character, and you assigned your stat points and everything like a full-on RPG. And then when Diablo 3 came out, you had this very simplistic skill idea where you had set buttons and you had these set skills with the runes for each skill. And I'd say Diablo 3 is a more fast-paced arcadey game to Diablo 2. I do think Diablo 2 I do prefer over Diablo 3. And if it wasn't for the, while obviously still online, for the fact that it's not as reliable as a service as Diablo 3's, I think I'd still be playing it now.
I have a shocking confession to make.
Okay.
I have never completed Diablo 2.
I think this is going to have to be one of my picks.
I've probably played the game for about, I don't know, 20, 30 hours, yet I have never completed it.
For people who obviously are listening to this podcast, whether they're making it there or not, we can see each other, and Phil's look of disgust and disbelief is the picture and a half, is all I've got to say.
The easiest way to describe it is it's like a parent who says, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
And I'm pretty sure all of our listeners are empathising with me right now.
I've done Diablo 1 hundreds of times and Diablo 3. Maybe I'll just skip every even-numbered game or something, I don't know.
So does that mean you're going to skip Diablo 4 and play Diablo Mobile, whatever it's going to be called?
No, I'm not that sadistic. Speaking of dungeon crawlers and being sadistic, just a quick update. Are you two still playing The Immortal?
Yes.
Which is our game of the month.
Trying to...
Without giving too much away, in a single word, how are you finding it?
Trash? Awful?
Painstaking.
Painstaking. Yeah. I think that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about that game.
I'm trying to be optimistic.
Very quickly, before we change point, Diablo 2 Remastered or Resurrected and Diablo 4 are coming for the PC, PlayStation and Xbox consoles and the Nintendo Switch.
See, it being on the Switch, I think I might be more inclined to play it, especially if it's got cross-play compatibility.
It'd be nice if it had cross-play compatibility, don't get me wrong, though I can see if they don't keep it, why they don't keep it. It's a game I very much prefer on the PC.
I need to complete 3, and I would like to try and complete 3. I just feel... I know, I need to complete
3. Whoa, you've not even completed 3?
What at all?
I've got no one to play with, and I get bored playing on my own. Again, Phil's face is a picture.
Right, yeah, on that point, we've got another game that we're going to talk about. Barry, do you want to talk about Project Triangle Strategy?
Yeah, let's move on before we disappoint Phil too much. Both of you've seen or at least read up about the recent Nintendo
Direct. Yeah, been having a bit of a read upon it.
So plenty of new games or old games getting new content that were released. 30 games in total, I believe it was. However, one did stand out for me. Project Triangle Strategy. Now, from a name like that, I can see it instantly piqued your attention.
Headline grabbing.
Triangle Strategy. Yes.
Thankfully, that is only a working title. So this new game, it's by Square Enix, and it looks like it plays... Well, it doesn't look like. There's a demo you can go out and play it yourself now on the Switch. It plays a lot like Final Fantasy Tactics, which is one of my favourite games that I've also not completed.
I've never played it.
Yeah, so anyway, glossing over that before Phil has like a fit.
I'm just in shock.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. The demo you can download for free now from the Nintendo eShop chucks you partway into the game. So from a story point of view, I have no idea what's going on. But it does give you a good feel for the game. And it reminds me a lot of, as I say, Final Fantasy Tactics, the way it plays, the way it even looks.
Final Fantasy Tactics was a brilliant game. I don't think any game has ever come quite so close to the level of customization that you could have as a tactical game.
No. Unfortunately, the character customization that Tactics affords you is missing from this Project Triangle Strategy. However, it is quite in-depth, so putting characters next to other characters, you can get multiple hits. You can also power up other attacks. But it does give me a very strong Shining Force 3 vibe from the narrative so far, where you've got these three kingdoms all vying for power. So anyone who's a fan of games like Final Fantasy Tactics, Shining Force, Vandal Hearts, and even Nintendo's own Fire Emblem should definitely go and check it out. Unfortunately, the game's not released until 2022.
Got a bit of a wait, though.
Yeah, got a bit of a wait, but they are asking for feedback on this demo. So the idea is to put this demo out there, people to play, and give the feedback. So they've got time to actually integrate that into the final game.
It definitely sounds like the sort of game that I would enjoy. I mean, I've enjoyed and completed Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yes, absolutely.
I've also enjoyed quite a few of the Fire Emblem games. What was that? There was one I'm remembering on the Game Boy Advance. Now, it might have been a Fire Emblem, but I don't think it was. I think it was Sun something.
Golden Sun?
Golden Sun, that's the one.
It's not so much like that. Golden Sun's a bit more like a traditional Final Fantasy style, where, you know, you line up at one side and take turns attacking.
I might be thinking of a Fire Emblem then.
Graphically, it was a very impressive game.
These styles of games, sometimes I find hard to get into. I don't know why. It's just sometimes I find them hard to pick up and play. Which I think is a fault with me. Nothing wrong with the game at all. Maybe it's just a genre for me. But this one, I would like to try the demo for. Because I've seen a bit of it. And for me, I think the graphics look really nice. I like the sort of comic book style graphics they've put onto it, and I think it looks really impressive from what I've seen.
I think the problem that you've probably got in terms of getting into the game is the battles in tactical RPGs like that can take quite some time. So where other RPGs like Final Fantasy, you might be in a particularly hard battle for maybe 5 or 6 minutes, or you might have a boss that might even knock on 10 minutes. No, that's just a standard battle in something like Final Fantasy Tactics.
No, a 10-minute battle in Final Fantasy Tactics. That's not even a battle. That's like a scuffle.
True. That's probably where it stems, though.
Yeah, so if you like that with strategy games, definitely do not play Final Fantasy Tactics or Fire Emblem. Because if you make one wrong move on them and get your character killed, that's it. They're gone.
Yeah, permadeath was a thing.
Yes. At least in Final Fantasy Tactics, you get 3 turns to try and revive them, though.
Yeah. But if they're on the wrong
Fire
side
Emblem,
of that.
Well, yeah, but Fire Emblem, if they hit 0 HP, you know, that's it. Your character's gone. Yeah.
I guess I can always give it a try, but I feel like I can just march my men off to death if I did that.
Tell you what, this episode, though, it is giving me a long list of games that I need to put forward for our game right. Clubs.
Well, at least this time they'll all be good games.
Hey, Immortal. You're the one that dropped the Immortal. That's all I'm saying. My game was an absolutely amazing game.
No, it's the painful. Immortal was your but, fault. Anyway. If you hadn't wounded me those 25 or so years ago.
30 years ago, I think.
But yeah, anyway, in conclusion, Project Triangle Strategy, awful name, fantastic game from what I've played from the demo. It gives you a handful of battles to take part in. So definitely go out, give it a download, give it a try, and give your feedback to Square. Hopefully improve the final game.
I think our last talking point was going to be the teaser that dropped for Mortal Kombat.
Well, I think it's actually a full-blown trailer considering it's coming out in April.
I was about to say, that's a full trailer.
Well, okay, yeah, okay. Full-blown trailer, yeah, okay.
There we go.
It's a full-blown trailer. Okay.
Yep.
The teaser, though, was at the very end.
Yes.
That soundtrack.
Was it? Was it in the trailer?
Oh, yeah. It was sort of slowed down slightly, and it was in the background at the end, and it was just sort of at the end going, da-da-da-da-da-da, sort of kicking in. Have a watch of it.
I am actually loading it up on YouTube right this second.
Yeah. Towards the end of it, it's there. It starts to creep in as it's sort of coming to the end of the trailer.
Because I actually watched it, and that was the only thing I was disappointed about.
Oh, it's there. It's a remastering of it. It's not like the exact same. It's sort of slowed, and it's sort of like a symphonic version of it, rather than, you know, the almost dance track that was the original Mortal Kombat theme.
But do you think going with an R rated for the Americans or 18 rating for the movie is the right?
It has
to be.
It's Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat?
The game that created ratings for games.
I think they'd be outraged if it wasn't an 18 or an R.
I don't particularly remember the original two movies being all that gory.
Yeah, but then you have to think about how good they were.
Well, the original Mortal Kombat movie was alright. Annihilation.
We don't talk about Annihilation. If I remember rightly, the original Mortal Kombat was a 15.
Yeah, I would imagine them to be about 15.
Though you've also got to remember, the original Mortal Kombat came out in a time when everybody thought video games, they're for kids. Because the original Mortal Kombat was censored unless you had it on the Mega Drive and you put in the blood code cheat.
Dull odd for anyone who needs it.
Absolutely. So the fact that obviously the modern Mortal Kombat games, they are not for kids.
No.
Even from the original Mortal Kombat,
they weren't.
Obviously,
no.
They get more graphic as the generations have progressed.
What I like is they haven't changed that much. If you look at, when they changed that much in regards to the finishers, in regards to the characters, you know, you can still go back to the original and still, you know, see some of the finishes of them, you know, ripping out the people's spines and that, and they still do it in the newer games now as well, just in the really nice, fantastic graphics.
Yeah.
I must admit, I did find it quite humorous, the final scene in the trailer with Kano holding the heart in his hand, going, ah, it's a beauty, innit?
Kano wins.
Although his language was a bit more
risque,
harsh than mine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like this film's kind of come out of nowhere. I know it's been around for a while, them saying that they're making a new Mortal Kombat, but to get our first actual look at it and then find out it's coming out in April.
Yeah, and some of the casting choices as well, I think they've got spot on. I think the actors they've chose,
yes,
are absolutely spot on. And some of the like the Scorpion fight where you saw him throwing his kunai attached to the rope with a get over here.
Yes.
Yeah. I must admit, when he says get over here, I feel like it's lacking a little bit.
Yes, I understand what you're saying there at all, because there was no sense of, oh shoot, I'm going to die. Do you know what I mean? The get over here wasn't very deep, wasn't very, you know, demanding.
It didn't feel aggressive enough.
Well, what I think, this is my take from the trailer, I might be totally wrong when the film comes out, but it looks like it's before he becomes Scorpion. Before he makes his health back.
Probably a flashback.
Yeah, possibly. It could be. So I think that's why it's possibly lacking the same sort of gravitas and growl and aggression that Scorpion has.
Oh, no, sorry. The bit where he says, get over here, is when he's fighting Sub-Zero.
Yes.
Sub-Zero, he pulls and
he does.
Frozen barrier.
I think we'll have to. It's a trailer at the end of the day, so we may have to reserve judgment for the actual film.
Oh no, I think it looks good.
Yeah. From what of the trailer we've seen, I'm obviously holding reservations because you can't always judge a trailer to the actual movie. But so far, like you said, Phil, with the casting and other bits of it, it looks like it's going to be a good movie.
It looks good.
It looks like. Hopefully, yes. It's going in the right direction that gamers and fans want.
I do find it's quite interesting as well that in the trailer, they show you how Jax gets his robotic arms as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that was never really touched on much in the games, was it? At least not the early games, anyway.
Off the top of my head, I think he was, you know, I think at that time it was like, oh, let's have
another
half a dozen ninjas and a guy with robotic arms.
And you clearly, they were running out of ideas for ninjas. What are we going to call this one? I know. Let's call him Smoke. And he's got smoke coming from him that makes him obscured.
Well, yeah, some of the characters. I think it was Rain was kind of like a fan theory of a character. They made that into a real character in Mortal Kombat. And Ermac as well. That was an error message in the, I think when you go into the dip switches, it said like, do you want reptile on or off? And then underneath it was something like Ermac on and off. And like, oh, there must be another ninja called Ermac. It was something like error macro or something. Obviously, they made him into an actual character.
When Mortal Kombat characters become Pokemon.
But no, the trailer, I'm excited for it. I'm hopeful that it's going to be good, but watching that trailer, I really enjoyed it, and it's got me ready for a good film that I'm excited for.
Do you know what I'm hopeful about with the trailer, though? I'm just hopeful I can actually go out to the cinema to watch it.
That's a good point.
God, yeah. I don't think we're going to be able to see it in April. It may have to be a socially distanced lad's cinema trip.
May have to be.
So, here's the question. Do you think video game movies are getting better because more movie writers... Well, no, I was going to say the reason behind it, maybe. More movie writers and directors and the like are also gamers and have grown up with these games.
Yes.
Yes, I think, like we've mentioned this a couple of times already, I think a lot of the people doing the movies have some love for the properties that they're actually doing the movies about.
Yeah, it shows. It absolutely shows with some of the care that they're taking in some of these things.
Also, they don't want to make mistakes from previous films and franchises that have tried to take on and had an issues. You know, it's they're trying to do lessons learned from previous ones completely.
Yeah. We've talked about it before, so we're not going to bring it up that particular movie.
That's why I was going nowhere near it. Wait,
which one are you on about?
Sonic the Movie, obviously.
Oh, Sonic the Movie. All right,
yeah.
I don't know. I think the original Mortal Kombat movie was a fairly faithful representation of the game.
For the most part, it was, yeah. And I think it was helped that it was of the time when cheesy martial arts movies were in. And it was a cheesy martial arts movie.
Yeah. I still think it was relatively well done.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was, don't get me wrong. But I think it was well done because people were following a lot of the examples from other martial arts movies at the time.
Yeah, and definitely not following Street Fighters, the movie.
Yeah, thankfully.
I was actually talking about the Super Mario Brothers movie with Anthony the other day. He hasn't seen it.
No.
I said, my opinion is, it's definitely worth a watch. It is so bad, it's almost like looping back around to being good again.
I mean, that or you just want to torture the poor boy.
I feel like he wants to torture me. I feel like that's a pastime of his he enjoys doing.
It is. I will agree with Barry.
It's a good little cyberpunk-esque movie.
Whoa, don't go silly in cyberpunk.
Right, would you not describe the aesthetic of the Super Mario movie as cyberpunky? When they go to the Mushroom Kingdom.
I mean,
you know, that one thing that the Super Mario series is renowned for.
As uncomfortable as I am saying it, yes, it does look cyberpunk-esque in setting.
You can hear the resentment in his voice, can't you?
As he says it through gritted teeth.
Yeah, I mean, as I've mentioned in the past, cyberpunk is one of my my top settings. I like cyberpunk.
Well, that's why you love the Super Mario movie. Speaking of which, the Super Mario movie will be coming out in the next year or so.
Will it?
Yeah, the guys who done the Despicable Me. Is it Illumination Studios?
Oh, really?
Interesting.
I believe they're doing the Super Mario movie. I think it's going to be a completely animated movie, unlike Sonic, where it mixes it with real actors.
Oh, it sounds like they're bringing more movies about games out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Super Mario was actually the very first movie based on a video game.
I'm thinking, because I can't think of any that came before it.
Yeah, it's because there was none.
Well, yeah, I was trying to think of early video game movies in more. Or admit what I was meaning there. So, on that bombshell, Anthony absolutely does have to watch Super Mario Bros. The movie, just to understand how terrible it is. But that is the Retro Gaming Dads, and thank you very much for listening to us. Hopefully we'll see you next week.